WSBTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hello, Irish fans. This is Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame football from a fan's perspective. I'm Mike Sullivan. Joining me today, we have a full house. We have Mike Coffey of ND Nation, Mike Brammer, and Ed Sullivan. And we're going to take about 15 minutes and talk a little bit about Charlie Weiss. The big man is the man of the hour today on Dome and Domer. Basically, here's what we want to talk about with the group. Let's look at Charlie's two-plus years here, and, you know, let's look at the pluses and minuses. I'm of the mind that, overall, Charlie's done a great job here this season. We know there's been mistakes made. I think everybody knows that. But overall, I'm still very much on the Charlie Weiss bandwagon, and I think there's more pluses than minuses. So let's go around the conversation a little bit. Mike Coffey, let's start with you. Charlie, more pluses than minuses, and what are they?
I think we're still at a point where there's definitely more pluses than minuses, especially in comparison to the previous regimes that have gone through. You have certainly a work ethic that is going to hopefully overcome or work to overcome anyway any deficiencies. I think he still is attractive to high school athletes from the standpoint of his connections in the NFL and his ability to get guys there, teaching them what they need to know. If anything, I think the main thing he's got to get under his belt right now is the ways in which the college and pro games differ, and the quicker he gets his arms around that, the better off we're all going to be.
Okay, Bram, you know, what are you thinking here with Charlie? Some of the accomplishments over the last two-plus years, in your mind, do those outweigh the mistakes?
He's in his third year of being a head coach, and there's no way to slice that up other than to say that he's learning on the job. Being a head coach entails a whole lot more than being an offensive coordinator. And some of the mistakes that he's maybe, you know, maybe these are attributed to him being a head coach only in his third year. But I think overall, if you take a look at what he's done, you know, the improvements he's made just with single players. I mean, look at Maurice Stovall. Who was that kid before Charlie showed up? Look at Brady Quinn. Who is he? He clearly has proven that he's capable overall. Obviously, high school players see that, and that's why he's got the number one recruiting class as of today.
Ed, more pluses than minuses?
This is going to be a very difficult season and is going to require a lot of patience. He ultimately has a very strong staff around him. He's got good young talent, and I think he's going to be okay eventually. But there's a serious erosion of confidence at this point in some of the judgments that he's made to get us here. I think a lot of people agree we didn't have to be as bad as we are.
Let's talk in specifics here. What do you think specifically he's done well in the little over 2 years that he's been here, including this year, if you think anything, you know, from this year that he's done well? We're speaking in very general terms. Bram mentioned the development of a couple guys. But, Ed, specifically, what do you think Charlie Weiss has done well for this program?
Right off the bat, he brought back an attitude to the team. And there was some decisions made that gave us chances to win games that I don't think the Willingham staff was able to do in terms of preparation, scheme-wise, and some fundamentals, getting the guys to play fundamentally sound. What happened this year with those things is still somewhat of a mystery to me. But that's what the initial positives were, I think. The obvious positive that both Mike and Mike mentioned is the recruiting. His work ethic, Mike Coffey, you mentioned work ethic. And, you know, that you don't see that in the mainstream media, okay? But we all know, being around Notre Dame, there was this undercurrent that you were hearing about Ty and his staff being unwilling to go anywhere, to work overtime, to get in the game with the top athletes in the country. And Charlie and his staff have done that. So maybe I put that number one.
Mike Coffey, the positives of player development, recruiting, attitude, I'm on board with all those things. What's your sense of what the negatives are that people generally are saying, you know what, this Weiss guy is consistently poor in this area or that area? What's your sense of that?
Well, I think, as I mentioned before, the biggest thing he's got to get on board with is that there's not only is there a difference between being a coordinator and a head coach, but there's also a difference between dealing with players at the pro level and dealing with players at the college level. When you're a pro, your prime motivation is your paycheck, because if you don't produce, that's hundreds of whatever thousands of dollars that isn't coming to you, and that's more than enough impetus to get your butt going and learn what you have to do. So not only, I think, does he have to try to get a good feel for truly how to motivate the players, I think he also needs to recognize that he can't always jump in and focus on scheme. He could do that with his first two teams because they were experienced and they'd had the fundamentals drilled into them. I mean, as many deficiencies as the previous coaching staff had, obviously they were pretty good at getting fundamentals in there because Charlie and the staff didn't have to worry about that to start off with. Now he does, and this season will show how good he is at teaching those things.
Okay, you know, in terms of some of his deficiencies, you mentioned motivation. That's an interesting one. On the one hand, I think a lot of Notre Dame fans have said, hey, Charlie really gets it. He gets us. He gets the university. He's one of us. But for whatever reason, that doesn't seem to have translated down to the kids. I mean, some of the stuff that he's done is almost borderline a little hokey. You know, the slogans for each year, 9-3 is not good enough, tradition never graduates. Those things almost seem to be a little too contrived and orchestrated. Anybody have an opinion about that?
I would agree, one thing I'll mention really quick, just to reiterate kind of what Mike was alluding to. I haven't really noticed enough of Charlie standing shoulder to shoulder with these guys. You know, in effect saying, hey, this is my problem too, and kind of taking some of that off of the plan.
Oh, I disagree with you. I think he's been a very stand-up kind of guy and say, hey, this is on me. I mean, he always takes responsibility. And I think he's hang on, Bram. I think he's publicly acknowledged also that he's tried to, X and O a little bit too much, and he's tried to get a little too cute. That's one of the things that I would put in the plus column for Charlie Weiss is I think the guy is a stand-up guy who takes responsibility. You guys think that that's smoke and mirrors, or you think that's sincere?
I think it's sincere. I do. And, in fact, he maybe needs to get a little smarter in how he does it. When he comes in and says, strike me dead if I ever use the R-word in regard to rebuilding, no, I'm sorry, Charlie. You should have been Lou Holtzing it this year. You should have said, we've got some issues that we are all going to have to work to overcome. But right now, I don't know how we're going to get out of a huddle without tripping and falling.
Wait a minute. It's one thing when Holtz does that and everybody knows we've got a lot of talent. It's another thing when you say it and it's really true. That can have some damaging impact on a young team. I don't have a problem with the approach he took about saying, hey, I don't want to hear about rebuilding. I don't have a problem with that.
It dug himself into a deeper hole is what it definitely did. I think what Ed's saying is he could have deflected a lot of this just by taking that approach. But, I mean, you've also heard him in press conferences say, because he did it just a week ago, hey, look, I can only do so much. I can't be on the field. I mean, that's not a direct quote, but it's close enough. And that, I think, is after a blowout loss, is not what players want to hear. You know, I mean, they hear all these press conferences. They know what goes on. There's just been a couple instances. And granted, I'm not saying he's doing it all the time, but you'd like to see him, you know, at least from my standpoint, on a couple of occasions, I think he could have, you know, strengthened that a bit. And that would be the only knock I would say.
Okay. Mike Coffey, you obviously have a lot of opportunity to read what the typical Notre Dame fan, or maybe it's not the typical fan, but the nut job Notre Dame fan, what they're saying.
Resemble that remark.
Yeah, exactly. Where do you think the consensus is?
For the term enthusiastic, I think, is a term we like.
Not nut job? Okay. Where does it stand on Charlie right now? I was reading ND Nation over the weekend, and there certainly were a lot of negative comments. Is that the majority of opinion, or is that the minority opinion?
I think that's a minority opinion. I think it's also a function of in the immediate aftermath of a loss, I think it's where the emotions run higher than anywhere else. And that's always been the big issue of the internet message boards in particular, where somebody writes something and 5, 10, 30 minutes, he may not necessarily feel the same way, but it's out there and people can grab it and say, oh, this is how Notre Dame fans feel and stuff like that. I think the majority of what the fans would say would echo a lot of what we've said here. It's, we kind of saw this coming, but we didn't quite see this coming to the extent, and it shows that Charlie does have some things that he has to learn, and we're still pretty confident that he'll have the ability to learn them, but that's what's going to determine whether he's a successful coach at Notre Dame or not.
Absolutely, and you know, there's always been a lot of historical significance placed on that third year. I don't know that it's necessarily the barometer. I know with some guys in the past, if they didn't get it done by the third year, it wasn't going to happen. But I don't think that applies with Weiss, because I think the upside with him is so much greater. Once he kind of works through some of those learning curve issues, I think there's a reason Bob Davies out of coaching, okay? You know, he couldn't get it done. Nobody really thought he could get it done. And if anybody really had a lot of confidence in his ability, he'd be coaching someplace. But I think Charlie Weiss is just a different guy altogether, and what he's already accomplished in football, to me, it gives me a lot of confidence that he's going to get this figured out very quickly.
And don't forget, he didn't have much of a start his first year. I mean, there's a guy that was going into a Super Bowl who's as competitive as he is. You know he's spending all day and all night on that. And he got a horribly late start as far as recruiting. So, you know, a lot of people are upset. Well, he's in his third year, and he's got third-year players that are with. Not really. I mean, if you really look at what happened, I mean, we're really working on 2.5 classes at best, as of
yeah. I'm sorry. The juniors are not Charlie's, and they shouldn't be seen that way. He put on, I think, a great little push at the end that did the best thing that did was give him some PR and get him started, and in some ways give him a chance to learn the recruiting game without being responsible for that class. But the freshmen and sophomores are Charlie's, not the juniors, not the seniors. So I think his, you know, he got a late start also just in terms of being able to come in and set the program. Now, none of that excuses some really awful play. The penalties, for crying out loud, look at the number of 3rd-and-1 where we go backwards. You know, what happened to our punter who was, wasn't he vying for being, you know, an All-American punter last year? I don't know that you put that on the coaches, but for crying out loud, at some point, everything going wrong at once, you start asking, you know, what happened over the off season here?
Right. I think that's what got most people concerned. It's the way we're losing and how we look. And you're right. That comes back on the coaches. As we've said many times, he could have gone.
I mean, he said it, to be fair, you know, we all said that under the Davey regime. We all said it under the Willingham regime. We said when you have repeated penalties like this, when you have repeated turnovers like this, then you have to look at what the coaches are doing. So to be fair, you have to raise that issue. I think one of the things that everyone has said today is, okay, having raised that issue and look at it, there are different answers to this debacle than there were to the previous problem.
Changing gears a little bit, Mike Coffey, what's the latest that you've heard on the Conrad Ruhlin situation? Do we know what his intent is in terms of staying in the program or not?
I don't believe we have a specific destination, but all signs are pointing to him transferring. And I know this is probably going to be one of those things where the media folks may latch on to, oh, people are leaving. Well, this, I think, is another example of a player trying to take advantage of this loophole in NCAA rules that says if you transfer to a school within the first 12 days, then you can start the clock running on the year you have to sit out, because you have to be at a school for 2 semesters or 3 quarters before you can suit up and participate. And because you have some of these schools starting their quarters very late, you get schools like Notre Dame who have been in class for a month, but they're still destinations these players can go to. And I think they're realizing, like in Ruhlin's case, hey, I'm sitting 3rd, possibly even 4th on the depth chart. I've been passed by a guy, not only by a guy who's in my class, but a guy who's in the class behind me. If I want to be able to show my stuff, so to speak, I need to find a better place to do it, which is certainly his right to do so. It's no bad reflection on him, no bad reflection on Notre Dame. I think it's just a case of someone being
right,
better off at a different place, and that's what he's trying to do.
And 2 more freshmen, you know, guys coming in next year, tight end studs coming in next year. Now, are we involved in Ruhlin's brother at all, or am I getting that confused with somebody else?
No, I believe he's at Stanford.
I think. So, and I do believe that Ruin is going to try to go back to California. I think an aspect of wanting to be closer to home is factoring in here. And what makes it interesting is, would Notre Dame approve him to transfer to Southern Cal or Stanford, since they're both on our schedule? I think they would approve a transfer to UCLA if that's where he wanted to go, since we have a game against them in a couple weeks, but then they're not on the schedule after that.
Okay. All right, that's a great clarification, because you know people are going to look at that and say, hey, Rat's leaving the sinking ship, and really use that against us. But it's really a function of a loophole in the rules that kids are taking advantage of, and transfers happen to everybody.
But the question is that where else is that happening? Where else do we know whether or not people are taking advantage?
It doesn't get reported if it's happening.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, yeah, you don't know where it's happening. I mean, you don't know what you don't know. But
if you're at, like, Purdue or something, does anyone outside of West Lafayette care that the fourth-string tight end may have decided he wants to go somewhere else? I mean, it also may be a function of Notre Dame tends to recruit smart players who keep track of their career and what they want to do, and you know, if they know this loophole is out there, they may try to take advantage of it.
Right. Okay, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks to Mike Coffey from ND Nation for being with us today. Again, Mike Brammer and Ed Sullivan, you've been listening to Dome and Domer, an online conversation about Notre Dame football. If you'd like to post a comment, go to our website, domeanddomer.com, or you can send an email to info@domeanddomer.com. We'll be back on Thursday with a preview of the Purdue game, and take a look at the Irish chances for victory in West Lafayette. Until then, I'm Mike Sullivan, I'm Dome, and they're Domer.